Jules awoke and stared at the clock's neon green numbers. It was 2015, and yet she remained lying unmoving in bed. She had 15 minutes until she had to face the music. She was afraid. True, she'd acted tough, but fear gnawed at her insides. Being flogged was not something she'd ever dreamt would happen to her. "Curse you, Mossy, and the horse you rode in on," she swore. Jules was sure the whipping would leave scars. Mossy would enjoy that. Her vidcom chirped, and reluctantly she got up to answer it. "Yes, Jeremy?" "Jules, you're up." "Good. I'll meet you at the location." "And Jules?" "Yes?" "I will be beside you, no matter what. Mossy cannot keep me out of the room." "I know, Jeremy. Thank you for the support. I just wanted you to know that, kid." "I know. Bye, Jeremy." She ended the feed and went back to her room to change. Jules knew why Jeremy called. They only used normal communications when they needed to appear completely human, or when other psionics might overhear telepathic conversations that were classified. She changed into her military casual shirt and pants, braided her hair, and pulled it into a bun. Stilling herself for the ordeal ahead, Jules teleported to the hallway outside the discipline room. Davis stood outside with a smirk firmly in place. Jules moved to go by him, but he threw up his arm, blocking her way. He leaned in until his mouth was near her ear and his warm breath hit her neck. "Bet you wish you had taken me up on my offer, Lieutenant." Jules silently counted to 10 and answered, "Not really. Both you and the alternative are like a plague. Unwanted and a pain to deal with." Davis's eyes narrowed and he pulled his arm away. She saw his other hand coming toward her to hit her. She didn't move, only pasted a serene smile on her face as his wrist was caught inches from her. "You're getting slow, old man," she quipped, her eyes on the surprised Davis. "Jules, I swear you are turning into a trouble magnet. And I'm not old. I'm still under 60, Jeremy complained. "True. You should stop gripping his wrist like that. You're going to break it," she pointed out. Davis's face was red, and he sputtered a threat, which Jules and Jeremy ignored. Jeremy's expression was harsh as he addressed Davis. "If you attempt to strike your superior officer again, you'll go before the MDC. Understood, Private?" Jules stood by and let Jeremy handle Davis. A small part of her enjoyed the private's terror at her anchor's threat. "Understood, sir." Davis glared at them. Jeremy released his wrist. "Good boy. Now run along. The adults have things to do." Davis stormed off and Jules turned to Jeremy. "Thanks for the assist." "You're welcome." "Jules, I'm glad you're on my side," she interrupted, not wanting to give Jeremy a chance to ask about her feelings. She pushed open the door and walked inside. The room was the size of a large conference room arranged around a fat, huge pillar. Wrist shackles encircled the marble column midway up, while ankle chains decorated the bottom. A sergeant she didn't recognize stood a few feet from the pillar with a large bullwhip in his hand. Jules felt hysteria stir as she strove for composure. Freaking out would give Mossy too much satisfaction. "I will remain calm. I will remain in control." "Jules, we can still call for an appeal." "No, Jeremy. It will only make it worse. I must do this. Mossy's a sadist, and perhaps this will assuage some of his fascination with getting even with me." "I highly doubt it," Jeremy grumbled as he came to stand by her side. A door opened off to their left, and Mossy strolled in. His gaze raked over Jules from head to toe, and she felt soiled by it. "I'm here, Jules, I'm here." Jeremy's soothing words washed over her. "I know. I can do this," she reminded herself, bolstering her courage and resolve. Mossy came to a stop by the sergeant. He held up his hand to show the controller ring and the remote to it. Jules flinched, and Jeremy went still beside her. Being forced to wear a controller meant two things to a psionic. Either you had lousy control and had to have someone teach it to you, or you lost your freedom for violating PSYOP's laws. The controller made you human, a fate many psionics considered the kiss of death. "It is 2030. Lieutenant Inbrien, come forward," the sergeant ordered. Jules straightened and walked to the two waiting men. She stopped a foot away from the pair. Lieutenant Jules Imbrun, reporting as ordered. She snapped to attention and waited. The sergeant nodded. Noted and affirmed. Lieutenant, the sentence of 25 lashes will be delivered now. Please follow me. The sergeant led her away from the pillar and over to a door. Go inside and change into the clothing provided. You can't escape because the room only has one exit, the door you are entering by. You have 2 minutes to come back out. Also, remove your shoes. Yes, sir. Jules went in and closed the door. She stared at the white shift before her. It looked like a cocktail dress, except this wasn't a party. The back of the material was left wide open, giving maximum exposure to her back. Jules removed all her clothing and slid the shift over her head. She came out and was escorted by the surgeon to the pillar. You must face the column. Your wrists and ankles will be chained. There is some movement, but not much. I will put the controller on you after your limbs are bound. Are there any questions? No, I have none. Very well. He pointed to where he wanted her to stand. Jules moved to the spot and faced the column. With quick efficiency, the surgeon shackled her in place. When his hand touched her neck, she flinched, and Jules felt him hesitate. She closed her eyes and willed strength to her failing courage. I am putting the controller on now. She heard a hint of compassion in the surgeon's voice, and then the hated metal slid around her neck and snapped into place. 1,000 pricks of stray thoughts slammed into her brain, and she bit her lip to stop a whimper from escaping. She worked on breathing. The painful press of so many minds was overwhelming. She could not afford to lose consciousness. Well, let's get on with it, Mossy ordered in a cheerful tone. Her anger at the bastard Brigadier General gave Jules the power to fight. She would not lose to Mossy. Not now, not ever. She heard the experimental crack of the whip. Punishment shall commence now, the sergeant intoned. It was the only warning she had. She heard the whistle of air and the fiery sting of the whip impact on her exposed back. The new pain distracted her from the psionic barrage. She gritted her teeth. 1, the sergeant counted. The next 4 blows happened so fast Jules thought she imagined them. But then the fire of their path across her flesh reminded her that this flogging was all too real. The silence in the room was eerie. She would have looked at Jeremy if she hadn't been too afraid of breaking down and crying from the beating and her aching head. Sergeant, maybe I should get someone in here who can wield a whip. You're supposed to be the best, yet I haven't heard her make a sound. I am the best. I was warming up, the sergeant growled. Jules almost cried then at his words. She heard Jeremy's cursing. She didn't have time to think as the sergeant rayed down 7 more blows in quick succession. She gasped, and her shaking legs gave way. She didn't care if all her weight was placed on her wrist. Too much pain from 2 different fronts were drowning her in their twisted dance of agony through her body and nerves. The whip sang again. 13. And again. 14. Harder, Mossy ordered. Jules was near to fainting when the sergeant lashed her again. This time she screamed her agony, not aloud, but mentally. Pain and fear rolled out of her as she prayed for some rescue from this hell.